sea before them lay. The Lord reached down his mighty hand and rolled the sea away. We'll sing the first and the second verses and their choruses of 555, and that's page 400.
When is
storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife. We'll do the first and the second verses. Again, you're singing well, but let's ratchet it up a notch. 305. Page 407, if you're using the books. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. And we'll do the first verse and the third verse, 1 and 3.
I'm
try to throw a curveball at the audiovisual team. We'll sing verse 4, when clothed in his brightness. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. Let's do 1 and 2 and their courses. Well, 1, 2, and 3 and their courses.
Thank Reverend Leckie for leading the service for us this evening and the opening hymn singing. We're going to commence our time to worship by turning to hymn 540. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. 540. At the end of this opening praise, we'll call upon Reverend Gordon Dean to come and open our meeting in prayer this evening. Well, let's stand as we worship hymn 540.
Amen.
just before Reverend Ian opens in prayer. There's a couple of cars, as usual, need moved. A blue-grey Kia, registration NDZ8877. So that's a Kia NDZ8877. And a red Renault Clio, a VRZ5226. A red Renault Clio, VRZ5226.
Let's just unite our hearts together at the throne of grace in prayer. Let's still our hearts. Let's seek the help of God tonight and his blessing as we gather around his word afresh. Let's unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we approach thee in our Saviour's precious name. We come by that new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And O God, we thank thee for our Saviour this evening. We thank thee for thy grace and mercy bestowed upon us. We rejoice in our God tonight. We come to worship thee. We come to glorify thy name. We can say that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And we come, our God, to exalt thee and to glorify thy name. We come humbly tonight. We recognize what we are, but we thank thee that thy grace has redeemed us. And we thank thee that we have the standing of the sons of God. And we rejoice in everyone that is saved in this meeting tonight. We thank thee for that day and hour when thou dost reach down and draw us unto thyself. We thank thee for the cross of our Saviour, and we thank thee that thou hast given us eternal life, and we will never perish, neither shall any man pluck us out of thy hand. And our God, we come rejoicing in thee. We thank thee for these meetings. We rejoice, our God, in the Congress, this International Congress. We thank thee for the work and witness of the Free Presbyterian Church. We thank thee for the work in our own land and for the work in North America. We thank thee for the presbytery in Nepal, for the Glory Bible Church in Kenya, and for all of our missionary works across the world. And we think back 73 years to the founding of the denomination. We thank thee for those that had the vision to stand for the blood and for the book. We thank thee for those that at cost to themselves stood out against the apostasy of that day and generation. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst enable us to stand. Help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And our God, we thank thee for the themes of the meetings of going forward. Lord, we look forward today. We thank thee that the end is not yet and the best is yet to be. We thank thee for our Saviour and his redemption and all that he has done for us. We thank thee for the prospect that every child of God has. We bless thee for the promise that thou wilt build thy church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But, O God, we pray that thou wouldst come this evening. We thank thee for thy presence in past nights. We thank thee for the word of God that has gone forth, for the challenge that it has been, for the help that it has been, for the encouragement that it has been. And we'd ask that thou wouldst take up thy servant this evening, that thou wouldst bless him, anoint him, touch his lips with that live coal from off the altar, and enable him, our God, to bring the Lord's message as he comes to the meeting tonight. Speak to our hearts. O God, draw near to us. Lord, we think of all that has happened today, the changing of a government and all that has taken place in the political realm. But we know that at the end of the day, it's not going to be politics that's going to make the difference. It is going to be the God of heaven. And we pray that thou wouldst stand amongst us in thy risen power. And we pray that thou wouldst make this time of worship
be a hallowed hour. Come and bless us. Bless the choirs that take part. Bless our brothers who testify. We pray that thou wouldst bless the Reverend Wilkinson as he leads the meeting. And we pray that every part of this meeting would redound to the honour and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Send us away changed tonight. Transform us by thy grace. Thy word is truth. And we pray that thou wouldst sanctify us by that word this evening. Bless and be with us now. And put thy hand upon us, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank Reverend Ian for leading us in prayer this evening. We're delighted to have Reverend Logan Elder with us this week, with the American people over, and we're very glad he's able to come this evening and to share a word of personal testimony. He said he's going to be about 45 minutes, but hopefully, we told him that we're in Bible college, you've got 7 to 8 minutes to testify. So he's going to give the highlights tonight, but we trust the Lord to bless him as he comes now and shares what the Lord has done in his life.
Yes, I did say that jokingly before. We will try to keep this brief and to the point, but I'd just like to say thank you on behalf of those organizing all of this to give me the opportunity to speak on behalf of the Lord and share a little bit about what the Lord's done in my life. If you would have come to me in the height of my life of great wickedness before I came to know the Lord and told me that in just a few years' time I would be in Northern Ireland speaking to a group of Christians about my own salvation and the Lord bringing me out of darkness and into light, I think I would have looked at you very funny and told you you were quite crazy. But such is the work of God that he has brought me out of darkness and into his marvelous light and brought me to Christ. And I just want to share a little bit about that with you tonight as well as my call to the ministry. And to do that, I'd like to start with scripture. Just if you would turn to John chapter 5. And then if you would also put a finger in Exodus chapter 4. So John 5 and Exodus 4. I'll read these scriptures briefly and then share what the Lord has done. But John chapter 5 and verse 39, John 5 and verse 39, this is our Lord Jesus speaking, and he said there, this is the word of God, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life." And then Exodus 4. And chapter 4, verse 10. "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." Amen. We trust the Lord will bless those words to all of our hearts. But I read those to you because those are really two pillar passages of Scripture that the Lord used in my life. The first one was those two verses are what the Lord used to bring me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to share a little bit about that with you now, how God brought me, called me to Christ. I was not raised in a Christian home. I did not have the Bible read to me while I was growing up. I never went to Sunday school or anything like that. I think my grandmother maybe took me to church once or twice as a young boy. But I knew nothing of a Christian upbringing. Very early in life, around 12 years of age, I got heavily involved in drugs and alcohol and a very wayward lifestyle. And so I lived that way until I was 19 years of age. And of course, got further involved in drugs and things of that nature and just a very wicked lifestyle, and I'll leave it at that. But around the time I was 19, the Lord gave me a wake-up call, and it really all began with the Bible. And amazingly, I was at my place of employment. Some people came by. They gave gift bags to every worker that was there, and in that gift bag, they had little New Testaments. And that was really something I didn't think much of at the time. I kept the New Testament and thought, well, you know, people think a lot about the Bible. They think a lot about this book. It must be good luck or something. I'll put it in my glove box. And that was the end of it for me. Just keep it in my car. Maybe it'll do me some good there. Well, about a year after that, I got in two very serious car accidents, one right after the other. And from both of those accidents, I came out without harm. Neither one resulted in any injury of any sort. But what it did do is each time I went, after they had hauled the car off, I went to gather my belongings. And the first time I found that Bible in the glove box, and I thought, ha, I'll put it in the next one. But I didn't think to read it. Of course, that was me and my sin, my foolishness. I'll just do this again. Well, I got in another wreck. And of course, that second time, I went and found the New Testament in the glove box again, and the second wreck was worse than the first. And that is what the Lord used to just give me a light bulb moment and cause me to want to search the Scriptures and find out who was keeping me alive. I had friends who died in less severe car accidents than the ones I had been in. And so I knew someone's keeping me alive. And I knew I had studied different religions before, but I'd never read the Bible. And so I said, I'm going to read this Bible from Genesis to Revelation and see if I find any answers. Well, of course, you know that I did. And the Spirit of God began to speak to me. And you fast forward about 6 months, I was in the book of Jeremiah. I'd been reading through the Old Testament, wanted to go through the whole thing. And the Lord had been showing me various things. Of course, I was still lost. But through various events, I ended my reading in Jeremiah, and I had been encouraged to read the New Testament, because at this point, I really wasn't seeing anything about Jesus Christ in the Bible. I was really just seeking to reform my life. I'll stop the drugs, or at least I'll stop some of the drugs, because I only saw some of them as an issue, of course, in my sinfulness. And I began to read John's Gospel because of this encouragement to find out more about Jesus. And I began reading John's Gospel. I read through it, and I came to the end, and I thought, well, I see, you know, now who Jesus is. He's come, he's lived, he's died on the cross to save people, but I just still didn't get it. Well, I went back and read John's Gospel again, and the verses I read to you are the ones the Lord used to strike me like with my need, my personal need to come to Christ for salvation rather than try and earning my way to heaven. And I'll read those verses again because I'd been reading the Bible and thinking that was somehow going to get me into heaven. But Jesus, of course, said to the Pharisees, who themselves would have known the Scriptures very well, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." And I didn't understand much at that time, but I knew that Jesus was saying all I'd been reading about in the Old Testament was talking about him, was all pointing to him. And he says there in verse 40, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." And it was at that time, around 2015, that the Lord just struck me with my need to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. And I don't know if there's anyone here tonight outside of Jesus Christ, but I would encourage you. Many times as I've thought upon my testimony, I think of that text, "Such were some of you." And you know, there's that whole list of sins there in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, of very wicked lifestyles. And the Lord brought me out of a great darkness. And I would encourage anyone here who's in that darkness, or maybe you're not in it outwardly, but you're inwardly dark and lost before God, would encourage you to come to Jesus Christ, to believe on him to the saving of your soul. That you fast forward from the Lord calling me to Christ to his calling me to preach Christ. And that happened from Exodus chapter 4. You see, I wasn't a very good student in high school, as you can imagine. I had better things to do than read or study. I just did enough to get past the test. And so I was a horrible student, and yet fairly soon, about a year after the Lord brought me to Christ, I was feeling very compelled to speak for Christ, and I desired to preach the gospel I desired to share about the wonderful things of Jesus Christ and what God had done in my life. You see, I was so different now. My eyes had been opened, and I saw life completely differently. And I saw the vanity of what I was before and how I lived. And I just wanted to tell everyone about that. And that was sort of the beginning of the Lord impressing upon me a desire to do something more for Him in a public sort of way. But I had this great feeling of unworthiness. How could I, with where I'd been and what I'd done, how could I ever preach the gospel to people? I felt very unworthy, still do to this day. I feel so unworthy to be here where I am, and of course I am in myself, but the Lord brings us places to serve Him. And those verses in Exodus are what the Lord really used, particularly verse 12, after Moses sort of objects to the Lord's plan to use him. He then comes after the Lord says, "Who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." That was the promise that the Lord really impressed upon me to go and pursue gospel ministry. You see, I didn't know much at all. I did not really have any sort of previous history of good academic success, and so it really was a daunting thing to me to think of standing up before people and preaching about the most important things that you could ever consider. And yet, verse 12 of Exodus 4 was the promise the Lord enabled me to go forward with. He called me to not have it all figured out or understand how it was all going to work out, but He called me to go, and He said, "I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." And the Lord, I believe, has greatly helped me as I have come from a very low place where I cared nothing about God and nothing for Christ. And yet the Lord brought me along the way, and I don't have time to go into all the details of how I came into the Free Church, of course, and the various things that God did to lead me to faith, Free Presbyterian Church, and then to the seminary there, and how He kept me through seminary, for that was no easy thing. And there were many times where I just said, "I just don't know if this is for me." And of course, that was the Lord trying me and proving me. And yet the whole time He kept me, sustained me, and He would bring me back to this promise: go, keep going. And in the Lord's providence, we're talking about going forward this week. We've been meditating on that, and I thought of this verse in relation to that. "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." Of course, many things happened in between. The Lord's given me a wife since He saved me, given me a son, given me an opportunity, a calling to Orlando Free Presbyterian Church, where I seek to minister for Him. Been there for about a year and a half. And I just stand here before you, and I marvel at the grace of God in my life. I'm sure many here, if not all of you here, who know the Lord, you can do the same. And you just look at what the Lord's brought you from, and you think, "Wow, why would I be here? Blessed to be around such godly brothers and sisters in Christ." And yet God has shown us that great grace because of that great love that He had for us, not for anything in us, but all of His mercy. I would just encourage anyone here who maybe has thought about the ministry or the mission field or something in relation to that, and perhaps there's a hesitation that you wouldn't go forward and pursue that calling, I just encourage you that I would have never imagined the Lord would have brought me where He has and given me the place of service that He has. And yet, He will do that, even for the least. The Apostle Paul said he felt himself to be the least. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given." that I might preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. I pray that just this short snippet of my life, this testimony of what the Lord's done, would encourage even someone here, just one person here, to strongly consider if God would have you to preach Christ, to go forward, some young man here, and maybe the Lord is calling you. And I would just encourage you, if you only do what you think you can do, you may never do all that God would have you to do. So may the Lord bless this brief testimony to us tonight as we continue to worship Him.
It's amazing what the grace of God can do in the life of a sinner, and what the Lord can do in a life surrendered unto Him. We thank our brother for that word of testimony this evening. We're very glad to have a youth council choir with us this evening. They sang for us back at the Easter Convention. They're coming tonight to minister in song, and then Reverend Paul Foster will come and bring a report on behalf of the youth council, and then following that we'll ask Reverend Raymond Robinson to come and to bring the announcements this evening. So in that order, please, youth council, Reverend Foster, and then Reverend Robinson.
Washed away, and my night was turned to day. I want to take this opportunity of thanking all the young people for all the times they've come to practice for the choir, and a special word of thanks to the Reverend Ryan McKee for all the effort that he's put into training us for this event, as well as, of course, for the Easter Convention just a few months ago. I also want to thank the organisers of this Congress for the opportunity to bring a very brief report on behalf of the Youth Council. As you all know, the theme of this Congress has been going forward with God. And I am glad to say that the Lord has given this denomination youth, which I believe are going forward with Him. The Youth Council is made up of delegates, many of whom are young people from youth fellowships all around our province. These Youth Council delegates are those who make suggestions and decisions when it comes to the events that the Youth Council will hold any given year. And in the events that the Youth Council delegates themselves have suggested, desired, organized, and indeed held, I believe we see just a glimpse of their heart to go forward with God. You see, we have been thinking over the past week about going forward in our worship of God and our walk with God. And of course, in order to worship God, in order to walk with God, you need to know God. You need to know Him as He is revealed in the Word of God. And the Youth Council delegates over the past number of years have desired, planned, and held not merely their traditional events where they can gather together in residentials and, yes, have fun and fellowship, but study the Word of God. Yet in addition to those traditional events, Youth Council delegates have desired, planned, and organized new events in the format of Bible studies every other month, and also historical trips to places like Bristol and Glasgow, where they as young people can learn more about the Lord, more about His Word, and more about the mighty works which God has done in days gone by, and indeed can do in present days as well. In addition to learning of God in these events, the Youth Council delegates have also very recently planned a national quiz for youth fellowships to take part in this November. And I've heard already of great interest among many young people who want to enjoy, yes, the fellowship of that quiz and the enjoyment of competing one with another, but also just simply to get stuck into God's Word. 30 chapters set aside and young people wanting to get stuck in, to learn God's word, to get into the depths of it, so that they will be able to know more, yes, for the quiz, but also know more of God himself. And it's in these things I thank the Lord for such youth that the Lord has given to this denomination. Those who want to know the Lord, that as a result of knowing him more, they can worship him better and that they can walk with him closer. This Congress has also been thinking about going forward in our witness of God and work for God. And again, in this, I see the Youth Council delegates and many young people within our denomination developing and growing. Of course, year by year, historically, the Youth Council has held one mainland outreach and also a home outreach. And again, those things have continued. But yet, over the past number of years, the Youth Council delegates themselves, and I take no credit for any of this, I want to make clear, but the Youth Council delegates themselves have desired, planned, and held trips to the mainland now 4 times a year, whereby they can encourage God's people on the mainland, do outreach to the mainland and the people there. The Youth Council is also holding this autumn 4 gospel missions around the province. Whenever I think of these things, I can't help but think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 126 in the verse 3 when he says, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." There's so much that could be said about what God is doing, even within the youth of our denomination. Example after example could be brought before you tonight of people who are going on with God. But men and women, I genuinely believe that the Youth Council, under God and by God's grace alone, is going forward. I want to ask you this evening, will you pray? Pray for the Youth Council. Pray for those delegates and all the suggestions that they make and the decisions that they will make, that they'll be for God's glory and for the good of the youth in this land. I pray for the youth in this land, that they'll get involved in the events that take place, that they'll enjoy them, enjoy the fellowship one with another, and that they will learn more of God and his wonderful grace to them. I pray for the new president, Reverend Julian Patterson, who will take up the position in September. It's been a great privilege for me over the past 4 years to hold this position. But I'm delighted in Reverend Patterson being appointed. Please do pray for him. You'll know the Lord's wisdom and guidance in this new role. And young people this evening, will you get involved in the work of the Youth Council if you're not already involved? If there's no representative from your youth fellowship, you can join the delegates and help with the suggestions and with the decisions. Also, you can help out in the events. I'll just mention one, the outreach to Limavady Free Presbyterian Church this summer from the 12th to the 16th of August. There's still some spaces left. Will you be willing to go forward in your work and witness of God? Whenever it comes to the quiz this autumn and winter time, will you get involved in it? Get stuck into God's word to learn more of God. Learn more of him as he's revealed in the word. 2 years ago at the Easter Convention, I brought a little match. I haven't got one tonight. But yet that little match, in many ways, is a picture of a believer. You see, yes, we need to be set alight by God, to shine a light for him. But yet, the light of a match only lasts for a short time. And our lives are so very short. And once the light has burned up the match, there's no second go at it. In our lives, we only get a short opportunity to shine for the Lord who loved us. The Lord who gave everything for us. Young people, will you get involved? Will you go forward with God in your worship of him, your walk with him, your witness for him, and your work that belongs to him? The Lord bless this brief report. Thank you.
I'd like to thank our brother for bringing that report on the Youth Council. And it is encouraging to hear of what the Youth Council has been doing and is doing and is planning for the future. And we do thank our brother for that. I was just thinking as I listened to the Reverend Elder giving a word of testimony, he mentioned that little phrase within it about doing something for God. And it is a little phrase that was mentioned earlier on in the week, The Reverend Porter gave a report on the Consider Christ outreach, and that began away back a number of years ago by that stimulus that was mentioned prior to prayer for the revival away back in 1859 about doing something more for God. And that little phrase has come up a few times over this past week, and it is an encouragement to each one of our hearts. But on behalf of the Congress Committee, we'd like to welcome each one along this evening. It's good to have you here with us, and we do thank you for your presence, and we thank you for supporting the meetings night by night. As we were organising, we realised it was into the first week of July. There's many things on in July. The schools are over, there's holidays and all the rest of it. But we do thank you for coming along each night and listening to the Word of God. We'd also like to pay a special word of thanks to the Martyrs Church here, to the Minister, Dr. Brown, and to the Session and Committee for the use of the building to come here night by night, and also for their help with the catering for the Congress visitors that are over. They've enjoyed fellowship night by night, and they've got meals here in the church, and we appreciate the labours of all involved. We would like to thank each one that helped out night by night, whether it was leading the meeting, opening in prayer, preaching, giving reports. We do appreciate all of those things, and we trust and pray that you'll know the Lord's blessing. There were other churches involved as well. We have a group over from the North American Presbytery, and they've been viewing around the province. They've been in different places. They've been up the North Coast. They were in the Titanic today, and they've been at various locations. And as they travelled around, the different congregations provided meals for them, and we do appreciate the labours of each of those congregations, and we do thank them most sincerely for their efforts. They were complaining that we feel like cattle, we've just been herded in to eat, and then back out to walk about a bit, and then back in again to get something more to eat. So that seemed to be the way it was, but we do appreciate the generosity and the kindness of our congregations. We would also like to thank those churches that helped out with the catering after the meeting for them as well, and helped out with the car parking. And I know from sitting down there, there's scarcely a night went past, but there was a little note come up from those that were looking after the car parking. There was a car parked somewhere, a registration read out, and that has to be done. But we do thank those that helped out in all of these matters. And there were also others that provided minibuses, and on behalf of the committee, we like to extend to them a word of thanks for the buses and for those that drove them. And we would ask the members of the committee, if they were present, if even we could meet together after this meeting this evening as well. I could remind you that there are magazines available, as has been mentioned throughout the week, current magazines, the Vision magazines, the Let the Bible Speak magazines. If you haven't yet picked those up, please do. And we'd like to say a word of thanks to the youth choir as well. It was a pleasure to listen to them this evening, and we do thank you for coming along. And we know it takes a bit of practice. You don't just walk out of the house and dander up here. And we thank you for the time and effort that was employed and all of that. And there is a cup of tea this evening. There's a cup of tea for everyone. So we do invite you to stay behind and enjoy fellowship amongst the young people. Enjoy fellowship with our North American brethren. And we do encourage you to do that. These are all of the announcements, and we do make them subject to the will of God. Thank you.
I do thank Reverend Robinson for making those announcements, and we want to thank him for all his efforts, even over this Congress as well. He's put in a lot of work behind the scenes. We'll thank him and the committee for all they've done. Thank Reverend Fawcett for the report on the choir as well. I really enjoyed that this evening. Now it's the part where everyone can participate. It's our offering hymn, hymn 657. And one of our brethren here from the Martyrs was lifting the collection plates from the minister's room beforehand, and there was one with a hole in the bottom of it. So if you want to avoid embarrassment this evening, make sure you put a silent collection on the plate. No 5p's and 10p's, but no, give us the Lord as prospered you. But we'll join together. We'll keep our seats, please. 657. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. 657. We'll keep our seats as the offering is lifted.
I forgive thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to
5, please. Verses 4 and 5. Glad this evening to have Reverend Paul Foster, the minister in our morning congregation with us. I trust the Lord will bless God's servant as he comes to bring the final message in our Congress.
If you could turn with me, please, in the living word of God to the book of Romans and the chapter 11. I do want to thank Reverend Wilkinson for leading this evening. And again, I want to thank the organizers of this Congress for the opportunity to read God's word to you. The living word of God, and also to bring the message the Lord has laid upon my heart. Book of Romans in the chapter 11, and we'll commence reading at verse 33 of this chapter. Let us hear the word of God. O the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory for ever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 2. Can you please bow briefly with me? And could I encourage you that while I pray audibly, please do pray for me, that the Lord will help me tonight. I feel very much my need of the Lord. And could you also please pray for yourself and pray for each one that's listening, that in spite of me, that the Lord and the merits of Jesus Christ and the perfect righteousness of his life and the shed blood, that the Lord would pour a blessing upon us, exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, thou art the true and the living God. We thank thee for thy love to us in creating us. We thank thee for thy love in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to live that life that we would never live and to pay that debt that we would never be able to satisfy. I thank thee, Father, for him who went through so much suffering, that we would be brought into that relationship with him and with thee and with God the Holy Spirit. We would have this opportunity of living for thee, the very purpose of our lives. Father, fill me afresh with thy Holy Spirit. Thou hast promised, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Bring to my mind afresh the words I was happy to say. Give me abundant help tonight. And Father, may thy word go forth with life and with power, that unbelievers would see the love of Christ at them, and they would give their lives to Christ. And we hear thine, that we would see afresh how much thou hast first loved us, and that we would desire to go on with thee. That we would lay aside every weight and pursue after thee. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. The subject that I have been given this evening to preach upon is going forward in the will of God. And if someone had asked me what this means, I could have simply said that going forward in the will of God is to go forward in your walk with God, to go forward in your worship of God, and go forward in your witness for God and your work for God. And as a result, I would be most tempted to summarize for you the previous four messages of this Congress and then just sit down. Because all of these things are indeed the will of God. The will of God for you and the will of God for me. However, in praying that the Lord would lead me to a message that he would have me to speak, I believe the Lord would have me to speak upon this passage in Romans chapter 11, particularly the commencement of this message in verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And so beginning to look at the subject of going forward in the will of God, we need to notice this, that going forward in the will of God is important. It's important. It's important for every one of you, whether you're the youngest here tonight or whether you are the oldest. Going forward in the will of God is important. And I'll give you two reasons. Going forward in the will of God is important because it is the purpose for which you have been created. Do you understand today? God has made you, not for yourself, but for him. In Romans 11, verse 36, we read concerning God, for of God and through God and to God are all things. Nobody is exempt there. We have all been made for the glory of God. If you want to turn with me, please, to Revelation and the chapter 4. We see this truth emphasized even more clearly. Revelation chapter 4 and the verse 11. And there the words are declared, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Whenever I was younger, I was obsessed with understanding what God's will for my life is. I knew the Shorter Catechism. A man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And it dawned on me that you and I can accomplish many wonderful things in this earth. You and I can get a good job. We can live in a nice home. We can marry a beautiful person. We can raise a lovely family. We can even make an impact in this generation. But yet, if we fail to do this in love for God, in the strength of God, and in agreement to the Word of God, then you and I have failed. Dear friend, tonight, do you see how important it is to go forward in the will of God? Do you understand tonight that God has not made you for yourself, but God has made you for Him? Do you understand that no matter how hard you work at something, how much effort you put into something, or how much time you spend at something, unless you're doing it in love for God, in the strength of God, and in agreement to the Word of God, that everything you have done is an absolute failure and has been a complete waste of time? Do you see tonight the truth of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, that whether we eat or drink, or whatsoever we do, we are to do all to the glory of God. All that we will see God as glorious, that we will love God who is glorious, that we will live for God who is glorious. It's so important we understand why we have been made. The will of God is that God has made us for himself. See, going forward in the will of God is important because the will of God is the very purpose for which we have been made. And the second reason why the will of God is important is because the will of God is what is best for us. In Psalm 18, verse 30, we read, "As for God, his way is perfect." It doesn't say the will of God is simply good. It says it is perfect. It is perfectly pure. It is without spot. It is without fault, without error in any way. The will of God for you and for me tonight is spotlessly, brilliantly perfect. In Isaiah 55, verse 9, we read, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so God says, are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts?" Jesus Christ says in John 10, verse 10, regarding his coming and the salvation that he offers to you and to me, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." I've no doubt tonight if I was asked you to all raise your hands who would desire to have an abundant life, you would all raise your hands. Who desires to have a life that lasts, again you would raise your hands. Who wants to have a life of joy and of peace? Who wants to have a life that truly satisfies? Who wants to have a life that whenever you reach the end of it, that you will not regret it? I've no doubt you would all raise your hands. And yet to have such a life, we must know the will of God and go forward in the will of God. The will of God alone is that which is perfect. The will of God alone is that which is pure. The will of God alone is that which satisfies. And the will of God alone is that which fulfills the very purpose for which you and I are living this day. And that is God himself. I remember being asked a number of years ago, what did God do before he created this world? What did God do in eternity past? I remember the answer being given. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit delighted in one another. The three persons, the triune Godhead, they loved one another. They were thrilled with one another. And yet in their eternal wisdom, they decided they would create a world, and on that world they would place men and women and young people. And whenever God made Adam in the Garden of Eden, God made Adam for this purpose, that he would be able to enter into that relationship. Oh yes, Adam would never become God. He would never become part of the Trinity, but he'd be able to enter into that fellowship of the triune God, of delighting in God, of enjoying God, knowing God, loving God. That was the reason for which God made man. What a most glorious, wonderful purpose. What a tremendous privilege in all the earth to have fellowship with the triune God. And yet whenever man sinned against God and rebelled against God, man had to be separated from God. He had to be cast out of the garden, no longer able to enter into that fellowship because of his sin, his iniquities, which separated him from God. And yet, God in his love and in his grace promised to send his only begotten Son. The God the Son entering into time, that he there as the God-man, taking upon himself that human nature, he would be forsaken in our place. He would receive the wrath of the Father in our place. He being forsaken, that you and I would no longer need to be forsaken, but that we could be brought back into that fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, we have it stated so clearly for us that the purpose of the gospel, the purpose of salvation, is to be brought back into that fellowship. To know God, to love God, to delight in God, to walk with God as we've heard, to worship God as we've heard, to witness of the glorious God who's loved us that we have heard, to work for God who is worth everything to us, which we have heard this week. Why is it so important that we go forward in the will of God? Because God has made us for himself. We may know him, love him, enjoy him, live with him, live for him. We may delight in him. Let me ask you tonight, do you care about the will of God? Do you care about knowing how you can walk with God and love God and witness of God? Worship him. You see, going forward in the will of God is so important because that is the purpose for which we have been made and that is the purpose for which we have been saved. Going forward in the will of God is important. That's the first thing tonight. Second of all, going forward in the will of God is rare. The will of God could be described as a road, a straight road that leads you to eternal glory with God Himself, there in that new heaven and that new earth. Then it would be fair to say this evening that there are three other roads that most people are traveling on, separate roads from the road that leads to glory. There are those in this world and perhaps in this meeting tonight, and they are traveling on the road called my way. Like Cain in the Old Testament, such people who travel on this road do not care what they have been taught, do not care about what is right. All they care about is what they want. My way, they say. Not God's way. Not God's will. My way. There are also those who travel on another road, and it's called your way. Like Herod in the New Testament, such people will succumb to the pressure of a person around them. When Herodias got her daughter to ask of King Herod, the head of John the Baptist, Herod could have said no. But he didn't. He succumbed to the pressure of Herodias. And he did what she wanted, even though he knew it was wrong. And there are those today, and they are succumbing to the pressure of maybe a family member, the pressure of a friend, or the pressure of somebody around him. They're saying, not my way, but just your way. An easy life. And then there is a third road that some people are traveling on. It is a road called their way. Like Pontius Pilate in the New Testament, such people will succumb to the majority opinion of those around them. They'll simply just follow the crowd. When the Jewish leaders ordered Pilate to crucify Christ, when the Jewish people shouted for Pilate to crucify Christ, Pilate could have said no. But Pilate didn't. Because he wanted to follow the majority way. He wanted to follow the crowd. He wanted the popular opinion. And so he went their way. Dear friend, tonight, going forward with God is rare. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And he goes on to say, however, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Entering in through Christ, yes, but then walking with Christ, worshiping Christ, living for Christ, witnessing of Christ, working for Christ, giving your all to Him who created you. He sent His Son to die on the cross that we could be saved. Let me ask you tonight, what road are you traveling on? Are you traveling on the road called my way? Tonight, are you like Cain? You say within yourself, I do not care what truth I have been taught. I do not care what advice I have been given. Like Frank Sinatra, I'll be happy when at the end of life I can say I did what I wanted and I did it my way. Do you just want to do things your way? Let me ask you tonight, are you traveling on the road called your way? Maybe you are pressured by some colleague at work or some person at school. You know what they're pressurizing you to do is wrong. But instead of standing up and saying no to them, like Herod in the New Testament, you give in and you say yes. You may not want to give in. You may know it is wrong, but you just say, well, that's fine. Just, I'll do it your way. Those who travel in the road called my way, or those who travel in the road called your way, they're not going to glory. Are you traveling tonight on the road called their way? As you look at the world around you and how the world dresses and what the world watches and what the world loves, are you one who says, well, I know it's wrong, but everybody else is doing it, so I'll just go that way. I'll just follow the crowd and just fit in. Jesus Christ says in Matthew 7, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. You see, those who have seen the love of God to them, that God is the one who's created them. God is the one who created them for that purpose of entering into that fellowship with the triune God. And yet even though they have sinned and rebelled against the God who has loved them so much, yet
Jesus Christ has come to pay the debt for their sin and to be forsaken, that they can be brought in, that they never need to be forsaken by God. And in love for God, who's loved them, they want to walk the narrow way, the way. They want to go God's way. Not my way, not your way, not their way, but God's way. No matter the cost, no matter the effort. Let me ask you tonight, can you truly sing what we sang earlier on, King of my life, I crown thee? Can you truly say that your heart's prayer is like that of the psalmist in Psalm 25, verse 4, when he said, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Can you say like Saul of Tarsus, whenever he declared, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Is your one heart's desire, Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me thy way. Going forward in the will of God is important, because that is why we have been made. That is why we have been saved. We're trusting in Christ tonight. Going forward in the will of God is rare, because many will go a different way other than the will of God. But notice me thirdly tonight that going forward in the will of God is possible. And I want this third point to greatly encourage you. If you turn to me, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. Look at Proverbs in the chapter 3. Well-known verses, but it's profitable simply to see it in the Word of God afresh. Proverbs chapter 3 and the verse 6. Solomon in his wisdom declares, in all thy ways acknowledge him, referring to the Lord, and he shall direct thy paths. Men and women, we've given this promise here. If we acknowledge the Lord, acknowledge the Lord as our Creator, acknowledge the Lord as our Redeemer, acknowledge the Lord as the purpose of our lives, acknowledge the Lord as good and right and perfect in all He desires and all that He wills. We acknowledge the Lord, asking Him to direct us, submitting ourselves to His leading and His command. If we acknowledge the Lord as our Lord and as our God and as our Redeemer, then the promise is given, He shall direct our paths. In Psalm 37, verse 23, David tells that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Some people think that the will of God is just for the big occasions in life. It's just whenever you're choosing a career. It's just whenever you're choosing a person to marry. And if the will of God's just for those that are younger, perhaps, whenever they come across those occasions. But let me tell you, the will of God is for every area of life. Oh yes, God cares about those big occasions, but God cares about every step. He says He delights in every step that a person takes in that walk with God and that life to worship God and witness of God and work for God. God delights in every step. And God is the one who gives an order regarding those steps. God is the one who wants us to walk in His will, not just on the big occasions, but in every day. In every aspect of life, in the home life, in the church life, in the work life, in the study life, in every aspect of life. So let me encourage you, going forward in the will of God, living for Him who's loved you, enjoying Him, getting close to Him, it is possible. I want to show you tonight four ways in which the Lord directs us in His will. And I believe it would be helpful tonight if you visualize these four ways as building blocks, starting off wide at the bottom as the most and the greatest foundation, and then progressively getting narrower. Four building blocks. Let us start with the widest and foundational of all the building blocks. Going forward with God is possible because of God's precepts. God has given clear commands known as precepts in Scripture. An example of God's precepts can be found in God's Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, whether it be with your hands or indeed whether it be in your head. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. These are examples of God's precepts. They are super clear, and they are not suggestions, not guidelines, but clear commands. And so it does not matter what situation you and I ever find ourselves in. It does not matter whether we get goose bumps or we have a certain feeling which leads us to do one of these commands, it does not matter what promptings or signs we see, it does not matter what advice we are given. If we want to go forward in the will of God and get closer and closer to God who's created us and who sent His Son to save us, then we must obey God's precepts. Take, for example, the famous triple long jumper, Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards is the son of a minister. For many years, he declared himself to be a devout evangelical Christian. He made no secret of his faith, and he presented the BBC songs of praises week by week. When it came to his sporting career as a triple long jumper, he sought to obey the fourth commandment of keeping the Lord's Day holy by not competing on the Lord's Day. He turned down many opportunities to advance his career by doing so, and this was right and this was good. Very sadly, one day, Jonathan Edwards announced that he would compete in the Lord's Day because he said it would bring greater glory to God. He would show off more often and the more people the gifts and the talents that God has given him. And then he said it would bring greater glory to God by breaking one of God's precepts. Whether he thought this up himself, whether he was taught it by a church leader, whether he had some vision about it, some thought, some feeling, some teaching, some goosebumps, I do not know. But none of these things make it right. Sadly, Jonathan Edwards today is far away from God and publicly declares no belief in God at all. Men, women, and young people, it does not matter what situation you and I are in. It does not matter what feelings or goosebumps we may or may not have. It does not matter what promptings or signs we see. It does not matter what advice we are given. If we want to go forward in the will of God, if we want to enjoy God who made us and who has sent His Son to save us, if we want to enjoy that fellowship and that delight in God and that love for God, then we must obey the precepts of God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Let me ask you tonight, are you going forward in the will of God? Are you obeying the clear precepts of God? Are you obeying the second commandment by making time to study God and His Word that you may know Him aright? Are you obeying the third commandment by lifting up and exalting the name of Christ? Oh yes, the commandments, many of them are put in the negative, but the positive aspect is the opposite. We're not to blaspheme the name of God, but we are to lift up the name of God. Are you obeying the fourth commandment by keeping and honoring God's day? Are you keeping the fifth commandment by honoring those in authority over you? Are you obeying the sixth commandment by looking after the health that God has given you? Not abusing it with a bad diet. Pure sleep. Are you obeying the seventh commandment by keeping your mind and body free from lust? Are you obeying the eighth commandment by working hard and not stealing? Are you obeying the ninth commandment by being honest and refraining from gossiping against those around you? Are you obeying the tenth commandment by being content in what situations God places you? You and I cannot go forward in the will of God. We cannot live for the one who's made us, we cannot enjoy Him, delight in Him, if we're not walking aright with Him. If we're not going forward in the will that God has revealed in His precepts. How can two go together except they be agreed? Going forward with God tonight is possible because God has given us precepts whereby we can walk in a way that is agreeable to Him, that we can get close to Him. But also then certainly going forward to God is possible because of God's principles. In addition to giving us clear commands in the Word of God, God has given us many principles regarding His will for our lives. These principles never contradict God's precepts, but are based upon God's precepts. And so as a result, the second building block is narrower than the first. It's based upon the first. Some of these principles include Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Romans 14:13, be not a stumbling block to your brother through which he will fall. Romans 14:16, let not your good be evil spoken of. Proverbs 15:1, use a soft answer to turn away wrath. Matthew 22, love thy neighbor as thyself. And of course, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The list could go on and on tonight. But God has given us principles based on the precepts that you and I, if we want to get closer with God and enjoy God and live for God and do a work for God, then we must follow these principles. Let me ask you, when you seek to obey the precept of the fourth commandment by going to worship God, do you follow the principle as well of doing it with thy might? Not simply entering in the church, not simply singing half-heartedly, but thinking upon the words. Not simply doing it just out of ritual, but thinking upon the words, lifting your mind to sing to God in glory, not simply to sing to those around you. When you obey the second commandment and study the scriptures to show, do you do it to show off to others how clever you are, and thereby discourage them by thinking, well, I'll never be as clever as they are, and therefore discourage them and causing them to stumble and studying the scriptures themselves? When you seek to obey the precept of the third commandment, do you also follow the principle of doing it in such a way that your good will not be evil spoken of? Maybe you're seeking to be a witness for the Lord and someone gets angry at you for telling them that they're a sinner and they can't get the glory themselves. Do you get angry back? Maybe they take the leaf that you've given them and throw it down the ground. Do you get angry back? Do you get very blunt and very cold and very harsh with them? Or do you, in their anger, give a soft answer? You and I want to enjoy this purpose which God has made us. We must follow the precepts of God's word, but also the principles of God's word. And as we do such, we can get closer and closer to God and enjoy Him, because we're walking in agreement with Him. Going forward with God as possible because of God's precepts, that's the foundational block. Then slightly narrower, God's principles, that's the second block. But then the third block, going forward with God as possible because of God's people. Has a thought ever come into your head? You thought, here, that's a good idea. And you go ahead and you do it. And as you do it, someone sees you and tells you that's not a good idea. And in a short time, you realize that they were right. It was not a good idea. In Proverbs 15, verse 22, we read, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Plans, intentions, motivations are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. They succeed. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, we're told, he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Dear listener, do you want to go forward in the will of God? Live for the very purpose for which you have been made. That you can walk closer with God and enjoy God and delight in God and see more of God, that you may reveal more of God. Well, then make use of the gift that God has given you, his precepts, his principles, but also his people. God's people are a gift to us. In addition to saving us and bringing us into a family with people, men and women who can pray for us and love us, God gives us fathers and mothers in the faith, people who have a maturity and experience which can be a great benefit to us. Can you think of a time when you didn't know what to do in a certain situation and you had three options set before you and you just couldn't discern what God and His Word would have you to do? And then you went and you spoke to you. Child of God about it, someone who's mature in their walk with God. Maybe it was a parent or a grandparent. Maybe it was some godly person in the church, and they showed you a precept of God's word that you'd never seen before. Or maybe they showed you a principle in God's word which you had overlooked, or indeed which would show that one option would be promoted above the other options. Whenever you talked with them, you benefited so much. It would help you as you would seek to do the will of God. I encourage you this evening, spend time with God's people who are mature in the faith. Get to know them. Talk with them. Listen to them. And when you have a problem, or when you have to make a significant decision in your life, talk your decision over with them. God's people are given to you and to me as a gift. And while they are the third building block, and therefore I might get clear, any advice that they give you must not be obeyed if it's not in agreement to the precepts and the principles of God's word, yet God's people can help us through their experience and maturity to understand more fully God's precepts and God's principles. 1 Kings chapter 12, we read about a young king called Rehoboam, and he had a very important decision to make in life. And there was before him advice of godly men, good men, mature men, but he chose not to listen to their counsel. Not listening to the counsel of those whom God had given to him as a gift, he went and made an horrific decision and made shipwreck of his kingdom, losing 10 out of the 12 tribes. Dear friend, tonight, Do you want to love the one who's loved you? Do you want to enjoy fellowship with the triune God? Do you want to see him by faith? Do you want to know him? Do you want to love him? Do you want to walk closely with him? Do you want to serve him? Then go forward in the will of God. Know his precepts. Know his principles. Learn from his people. And then there is a fourth and final building block that I mentioned to you tonight, and it is, you and I can go forward with God because of God's providence. Throughout Scripture, in passages such as Colossians 4, verse 3, 1 Corinthians 16, 9, 2 Corinthians 2, 12, Romans 3, verse 8, we have God opening doors and closing doors. This is known as God's providence. These passages are examples of God working through situations and circumstances to make his will known to his people. There are many such occasions that we can see in the life of the Apostle Paul where God's providence directed him to stay somewhere or to go somewhere. In Acts 9, persecution in Damascus forced Paul to leave where he was to go to Jerusalem where he had met a man called Barnabas. He had no other option but due to providence just to go a certain direction. He wanted to stay, but he had to go. A door was closed for him. Another door was opened. In Acts chapter 11, Barnabas needed help. Having known that Paul's a bit in the gospel, Barnabas invites Paul to go to the Antioch to help him there to be a witness for God. A door was opened for him now. In Acts 15, whenever Barnabas disagrees with Paul over a matter, Paul is forced to take with him Silas on the second missionary journey instead. God's providence closed one door now with Barnabas, but opened up another with Silas. In Acts 16, when Paul is falsely arrested, thrown into prison, his opportunity to speak there in Philippi was closed, but another door opened up to speak to a jailer of Christ, the mighty to save, and that jailer and his household were wonderfully converted. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul goes and takes the opportunity through an open door to preach in the marketplace of Athens, God closed that door to open up another door where he could stand on Mars Hill and preach to many. In Acts 21, when Paul is falsely arrested yet again, and through his arrest, he is given the opportunity to speak to before kings, closing of one door, opening of another. In Acts 26, when Paul wishes to be freed, he wants to get to Rome to preach the gospel, but he can't for 2 years. He's kept there. Providence directs him just to stay where he is. And yet after 2 years, the door is open for him to go to Rome. God directs us primarily through his precepts. His principles, which are based upon the precepts, God's people, which must base their teaching upon the principles and the precepts, but also God's providence. Maybe tonight you have before you an opportunity. You see a need whereby you can do a work for God. You can be a witness for God. Maybe it's with some friend or some family member or some neighbor. You have the time to help, the talents to help, the opportunity to help. And if you were to help in this way, you would fulfill a precept and a principle of God's word. Whenever God opens up the door, his providence, in light of his precepts, in light of his principles, and that's a door that we can take. I must make it clear, this fourth building block, God's providence must be very carefully interpreted. You think about Jonah. God gave him a clear precept to go to Nineveh, but he disobeyed that clear precept, and he went down to the harbor, and then he saw at Joppa a ship that was going to go to Tarshish, and he could have said, the providence of God is here. There's a ship just waiting to take me. The providence of God. This is the will of God for me. But it wasn't, because he was disobeying the precept. You know, I can only understand providence, the opening and closing of doors, in light of the precepts, in light of the principles that God gives us. But even at that, the providence is still a way in which God directs us and gives us doors of opportunity to serve him and to walk closer with him. Going forward in the will of God, knowing and doing his precepts, knowing and following his principles, learning from his people, following his providence, it enables us, not through merit, not through work, but simply by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, to walk more closely with God, to know him, to worship him better, to witness for him, to work for him. But if we don't go forward in the will of God, then the rest goes to the side. We can't know and love and enjoy and live for the one who loved us and creating us and who sent his son to die for us. Perhaps you say, but preacher, how can I understand God's precepts and God's principles, and how can I learn from God's people, and how can I interpret providence aright? We heard a testimony earlier on from Reverend Elder, and how he read God's word, and for a time he saw nothing in it. He never understood it. But you see, God has given us another gift. He's given us the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, and God has given us his Spirit to teach us. You see, in 1 Corinthians 2, we read that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, doesn't understand and receive the word, but the Spirit has given us to reveal them to us, to open up our eyes to see them. God has given us a Spirit to teach us. We understand the precepts and the principles and what God's people are saying. God has given us a Spirit not only to teach us, but to purify us. Philippians 2, verse 13, we read, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Whenever I was younger and the Lord was calling me into the gospel ministry, I will be honest with you and say that I did not want to obey the clear command of God. And yet I'm so thankful that God worked in me by his Spirit and compelled me that very evening to see how much God has loved me, how much God has done for me in Christ, to say, Lord, I will. In Psalm 37, verse 4, we're told, delight thyself in the Lord. Seek after him, that is, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. That is, as you delight in the Lord will give your heart the desires that the Lord has for you. God has given us his Spirit to teach us, to open up our eyes, to understand the precepts and the principles and what God's people are saying and the providence. But God, the Holy Spirit, also works inside us to purify us, to give us a want to obey the precepts and the principles and the advice of God's people and the providence to take the opportunities. God has given us a Spirit also to focus us. In 1 Kings 19, we read of Elijah being surrounded by despair in his own mind. He just wanted to die. That's what the voice in his head was saying. Just give up, give up, give up, give up. We then read of Elijah being surrounded by a great strong wind, which must have been surely loud as it tore rocks in two. One voice in his own head, another noise from outside filling his head. We then read of an earthquake surrounding Elijah, dividing the ground below his very feet. More noise. We then read of a fire flaming intensely before his face. More noise. And yet in the midst of all the noise around Elijah, the Holy Spirit enabled Elijah to hear the still, small voice of God. And in our world today, there is so much noise. So much business, so much confusion around us. There's the inner voice of doubt. There's the voice of the flesh calling us to selfishness, the voice of the world calling us to pleasure, the voice of the devil calling us to worry. So many noises, so many voices. But the Holy Spirit is able to come along and to focus our minds that we will hear in his word, in his precepts, in his principle, and through his people, the word of God and the will of God. Let me ask you tonight, are you one who is regularly asking for God, the Holy Spirit, to teach you? To teach you the will of God? Are you regularly asking God, the Holy Spirit, to work in you, to purify you, to give you a want to obey what you read? And are you asking regularly God, the Holy Spirit, to focus your mind that you may hear in all the noise the still, small voice of God? Is Christ not worthy of being loved and being enjoyed and being lived for? Then ask for the Holy Spirit to teach you, to work in you, to focus you. Christ promised in Luke 11, 13, if we being evil know how to get good gifts unto our children, how much more shall God, our Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? God wants us. He delights, as we heard last night, that Jesus Christ, he is that friend to us. He loves us. He wants us to walk with him. He went to the cross and shed his blood and suffered horrendously more than we could ever imagine, the equivalent of hell forever for every one of our sins, so that we could be brought into fellowship with him, that we could enjoy him. He wants us to know his will. May I just finish tonight? Going forward in the will of God is important. It's the very purpose for which we have been made. Christ is worthy of it. Going forward in the will of God is rare. Sadly, many people will go my way or your way or their way, but they don't go God's way. It's a narrow way. It's a difficult way. And going forward in the will of God is possible. Because God has given us His Spirit to reveal the precepts and the principles and to teach us through His people and through providence the will of God, that we can be blessed and enjoy more of God, the triune God, the eternal God. But let me just finish and conclude tonight by saying that going forward in the will of God is conditioned. Will God guide everybody? The answer is no. You see, there are conditions set for those whom God will direct and lead them forward in the will of God. Before this meeting, I asked Reverend Wilkinson what his favorite sweets were. He looked at me rather strange. But he says he loves Kit Kat in terms of chocolate, which I thought was rather strange. I look back at him that way. But he also loves strip pastels. Now, if you imagine Reverend Wilkinson was out in the front porch tonight, and imagine that I had a treasure hidden somewhere in this building, a treasure of fruit pastels that he could delight in, that he could enjoy, and that he could share with others. Now imagine I shouted out to Reverend Wilkinson in the foyer, and I said to him, look, I've got a treasure for you, I've got a gift for you, and it's somewhere in this building. How is he going to get it? He's going to have to ask me where it is, doesn't he? He's going to have to seek. Who does God guide? He guides the seeking, those who say, well, show me where it is, Lord. Show me how I can enjoy the treasure that you have. Now imagine I saw the Reverend Wilkinson. And he said, well, show me, Paul. Tell me where the treasure is. And I said, right, well, you've got a blindfold on, so you have to walk into this room. Walk forward 20 steps. But he didn't do anything. And he shouts to me, tell me the next step. And I said, no, you need to do the first step first. Who does God guide? He guides the seeking, but he also guides those who are obeying. Obeying one step at a time. God's not going to lead you forward in him and closer with him unless you obey what you know to be right now. Imagine I saw him taking the 20 steps up, and then Reverend Wilkinson, he said, show me something more. And then I saw him put his hands over his ears. Not wanting to listen. Do you think I would tell him the next direction? Of course not. No, I'll guide the willing, those who want to listen to what I have to say. And God, he'll guide the willing. Those who are listening out for the still small voice. Imagine I saw the Reverend Wilkinson chatting to one of you and getting distracted, not listening to what I had to say. I would just wait until he was ready to listen. See, God will guide the willing, and God will guide the obeying, and God will guide the seeking, and God will guide the listening, those that are focusing. God will guide the trusting. Imagine I said, Reverend Wilkins, after you're 20 steps forward, you have to now take 30 steps to your left, mind the pews. Whenever you get over there, you're going to have to get down your hands and knees. And maybe he turns around and says, well, Reverend Foster, I don't want to get down on my hands and knees. That's below me. Now, he wouldn't say that I know him, but imagine he did. Do you think I'm going to direct him if he's not willing to do what he's told? I've got a great treasure for him, a whole treasure trove of fruit pastels. If he's not willing to get down on his hands and knees just for such a great treasure, am I going to direct him? He's not going to trust me. He's not going to obey. Maybe he turns around and he starts taking 10 steps and then he just stops. And maybe he thought I'd say, well, take another 20 more steps. But he turned around and said, maybe he said to go a different direction. And if he wasn't willing to be corrected by me, because often the will of God, we seek it and we start doing it, we realize, no, hold on, we've got it wrong. God tells us, no, you need to be corrected here. We don't want to be corrected, but God will guide those who are willing to be corrected, those who are willing to learn. And finally, he'll guide those that are loving. Imagine I thought that if Reverend Wilkinson was to get to the treasure trove of fruit pastels and he turned around and we was going to set a match to him, do you think I would guide him to the fruit pastels? Not at all. What a waste of fruit pastels. If I thought he wasn't going to share them with all around, do you think I would guide him to the treasure chest? No. God guides those who seek his will, those who listen to his will, those who will obey his will one step at a time, those who will trust his will, those who are willing to humble themselves in the midst of his will, and those who will use his will and love for God, that whenever they find the treasure chest of God himself, that they will go forth and tell others of him. Those are the ones whom God will guide. Let me ask you tonight, are you seeking the will of God? Are you praying, Lord, show me day by day how I can follow your precepts and your principles and the advice that I hear from God's people and know the providence. Fill me with thy spirit. Lord, I want to draw closer to you for this purpose for which you've made me. I want to worship you. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to love you. I want to reveal you. I want to love my neighbors. I want to love them. Tell them more of thee that they may see how good thou art and come to know thee in salvation. Are you such a person? Or are you not listening and not caring and not focusing and not obeying? God will never lead you forward with him. God will never lead you closer and closer in that fellowship of the triune God. Let me ask you, do you see how much God has loved you? Do you see what he's done whenever he created us, whenever he sent his son to die, that we'd be brought into that fellowship of the triune God? And in seeing such love, seeing the delight of being able to have fellowship with the triune God through his word, do you want to know the precepts, to study hard the precepts, to listen to the word, that you may obey the word and learn the principles and obey the principles and listen to God's people and learn from his people and see the providence and the opportunities that God gives, that you may serve God and draw closer to him, walking more and more in agreement to him? Do you want to live for the one who's loved you and sent his son to die for you? He alone is worthy of it. May we all see the love of God this tonight. Unbelievers see it, for the first step of obedience is not to come in 20 steps in here. The first step of obedience is to give your life to Christ, to repent and to believe the gospel. And whenever you do that, God will lead you on step by step, and you'll see more of the one who is the living and the true God. May we go forward in the will of God, that we may enjoy God, walk with God, worship him, witness of him, and work for him. Amen.
I do thank God's servant for that very challenging word this evening. The Lord be pleased to write it on every heart and to speak to our hearts through it. We'll turn to our closing hymn this evening, hymn 482. And the words fit in and dovetail with the message. Our brother asked me to pick the hymns this evening. I wasn't aware of where he was preaching from or what he'd be speaking on. But 482 is our closing hymn. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and still. 482, we'll sing verses 1 and 4 together, please, standing to sing.
I am the clay.
gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do come humbly into thy presence this evening with thankful hearts. Lord, we thank you for thy speaking voice in this meeting tonight. We thank you for help given to thy servant. Lord, we bless thy name for, Lord, feeding us from the finest of the wheat throughout this week. Lord, our souls have been nourished. Lord, we have been truly fed. And Father, we pray that the watchword for each one of us will be to seek to go forward with thee. We pray for this denomination. We thank you for great things that has done for us in the past. But Father, we look forward. We look to greater things in the future. O Lord, fill us with thy Spirit. Lord, help us to be molded and changed, Lord. Help us to be willing to surrender our all to thee. O Father, we rejoice in this week, Lord. We rejoice in the opportunity we've had night by night to meet around thy word and to fellowship one of another. And Lord, as we come to the close this evening, we pray, Lord, thy hand will be upon us for good. We do thank you for the good things provided for us. Bless the hands that prepared it. Lord, at the end of the evening, take us all to our homes in safety. Keep your hand upon us for good. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for thy eternal glory. Amen. Amen. There's a blue Ford Focus that needs to be moved immediately. The registration is W017WJY. So that's a blue Ford Focus needs to be moved immediately. W017WJY. Thank you.